This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
Thalia Productions, Inc. presents Edward G. Robinson and Lon McAllister in The Red House, with narrative description by AudioVision Canada. With Judith Anderson, Rory Calhoun, Aline Roberts, Julie London, Ona Munson, Harry Shannon. Music by Miklos Rosa. Director of Photography, Bert Glennon. Art Director, McClure Capps. Sound Technician, Frank McWhorter. Costumes, Frank Beetson. Makeup Artist, Irving Burns. Interiors, Dorsey Howard. Film Editor, Merrill White. Production Manager, Clem Beauchamp. Produced by Saul Lesser. Written for the screen and directed by Delmer Daves.
Dense forest once covered all of Piney Ridge, but no longer is the region a mystery. Modern highways have penetrated the darkness and brought in the light. Not so in Oxhead Woods, further south. Step into it off the abandoned road that hugs its length, and it's like passing through a wall and closing the door behind you. Obsolete trails wander vaguely, crisscross or break at right angles for no reason. Only one leads to the Morgan farm. Pete Morgan's farm has the allure of a walled castle that everybody knows about, but few have entered. Its only access to the outside world is a country road that passes by. Some miles north connects with a highway near the Renton farm. Joe Renton, like the other farmers hereabouts, is up and coming. Raises good apples. Fine soil everywhere in the valley. The young people for miles around come to the high school. The boys graduate a little older than those in the city. That's because they take time out for planting and helping with the harvest. They're a healthy lot. And girls don't come pretty or any place.
A busload of students pulls out of the Union High School parking lot. In the back of the bus, a teenage boy sits with his arm around a pretty girl.
Are we going swimming, Sandy?
Sure, if I'm not needed at the store.
Where will you change into your swimming trunks?
Maybe I'll wear them over.
No. Bring them. We'll change at the reservoir.
Who else is coming?
Just us.
As she smiles suggestively, the plain girl beside them averts her gaze. Later, a handsome young man with a rifle watches as the school bus stops at the roadside in front of him.
Hi, Teller. How's that?
The young man waves to the driver as the pretty girl gets off the bus. As the bus pulls away, the young man steps toward the girl.
What are you doing so close to civilization?
You're growing up, Tibby. You're almost a woman.
Almost. I'm woman enough already.
He grins at her condescendingly.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, what do you know about anything? You never got past the ninth grade.
I'm good at plenty of things they don't teach in school.
Tibby glares at him sullenly and stalks off. A few paces away, she stops and looks back at him. When he points the way down the road, she angrily continues on her way. Meanwhile, as the school bus continues along the dirt road, the boy chats with the plain girl.
What's got into you, mate? You got the fidgets?
I promised Pete Morgan I'd bring you by the farm this afternoon, and I don't know how to ask you.
Looks like you've asked me already. What does he want?
Better ask him.
How long will it take?
Not so awfully long, mate.
She looks out a window.
We're here already.
Okay, Meg, let's go.
Nate and Meg step off the bus together.
Hey, Nate, what's Tibby gonna say about this?
As the bus pulls away, Meg leads Nate past a series of farm buildings. When they arrive at a barn, Nate waits outside while Meg enters. Inside, a squat, powerfully built middle-aged man moves hay with a pitchfork.
Pete!
Yes, Meg?
I brought Nate Storm, the boy I told you about.
Pete frowns. He chucks the pitchfork aside and climbs stiffly down a ladder.
You know, I've thought about this thing, Meg. I'm not so sure it's a good thing. We've been content with the way things were. Maybe an outsider will spoil it.
But it would be so much easier for you if Nate would come and help out at the end of the day.
Pete smiles.
Anything between you and Nate?
No. He and Tibby Ritten are going steady.
All right, I'll see the boy. Never could turn you down, could I?
As they cross the barn, Pete limps heavily. He grabs a cane beside the door and steps outside where Nate is waiting.
Meg says good things about you, Nate. Maybe you're not as stocky as you might be.
Stop growing too soon, Mr. Morgan.
Mm. How's your mother's store getting along?
Oh, well, some days we don't even make a dollar. What do you want to see me about, Mr. Morgan?
You know about my leg? Wood. My sister and Meg have got a curious idea that it's hard to climb a ladder with a wooden leg. Well, it isn't.
Oh, sir.
Much more, they've got an idea that things are getting a little run down here. Can't do as much as I used to. And so they've talked me into hiring somebody. They'll help along with the evening chores. I'll pay 35 cents an hour.
Nate looks at Pete, then at Meg, who smiles encouragingly.
Well, could you make it 4 bits? It's over an hour's walk home afterwards.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I'll pay 50 cents an hour.
Could he start today?
Sure it's all right with you, Nate?
Oh, yes.
Delighted, she runs off. Meg races through a shed and across the farmyard.
Alan!
Meg runs toward a middle-aged woman.
Pete's hard name.
Good. I just hope that Pete hasn't become too used to doing things alone. I do hope it works out.
Later, Nate herds cows toward the barn. They all eat dinner together.
You sure you don't want any more, Nate?
No, thanks, ma'am. I bet nobody will believe me when I tell them I had supper here.
Why not, Nate?
Well, didn't you know you and Miss Ellen are known as the Mysterious Morgans?
Are we?
Well, they won't say it anymore. Not when I tell them what a swell layout you've got here and that you spread the best table in the valley.
That's because we're so self-sufficient here. We seldom have any need to go to town.
What else do they say about us, Nate?
Oh, nothing.
Pete gazes at him.
Except things like Meg not being your daughter or even related.
Why don't they ask me?
Well, I guess they'd rather whisper gossip than find out the truth.
What gossip?
Well, they say Meg's mother and father ran away and left her when she was still a baby.
Well, that's not true, Nate. Meg's mother and father went down south to find a new farm. They left Meg in our care.
They died down there in a runaway. Pete and I adopted Meg legally. There's nothing to be whispered about, Nate.
She was only 2 years old then.
There's nothing wrong with being adopted. I'm grateful.
Sure. And the next time I hear anybody gossiping about it, I'll say, so what? Meg isn't the only adopted girl in the world.
A strong wind buffets the trees outside.
Well, I hate to eat and run, folks, but I think I better get started.
Nate rises and steps toward the farmhouse door with Pete close behind. As Nate grabs his jacket, Pete pulls out his wallet.
It's kind of late, so I thought I'd take a shortcut through Oxhead Woods.
You know your way through those woods?
No, but the wind's cleared the sky.
Well, I'd take the long way around if I were you. I've roamed the Oxhead Woods for years, and I'm as brave as the next man, but I wouldn't cross to those woods at night.
Woods haven't scared me since I was a kid, day or night.
Yes, but you said you didn't know Oxhead Woods.
A tree's a tree, and a trail's a trail.
A trail's lead nowhere.
Let the boy go, Pete.
I don't want him to get caught.
Nate hurries outside.
There's the dog. I don't want him to get hurt.
Meg and Pete follow Nate out into the wind.
Don't take the Oxhead Woods. The footbridge across the creek is out.
I'll jump across.
Well, there's fog on the other side.
Find the way around it. Look, Mr. Morgan,
take a long way around.
Well, I'll save 2 miles by cutting through the woods.
But you won't save yourself from the screams in the night that'll lodge in your bones all your life.
Screams from where? From the right house. Well, if I come to it, I'll give it a wide gulp on it.
Nate strides off into the darkness.
Did you ever run away from a scream?
Nate ignores him.
Nate! Nate!
Nate lopes towards the woods. Pete limps back toward the farmhouse and Meg. He stares at her, wild-eyed, and she meets his gaze. Recoiling from his intensity, Meg hurries to the house. Pete follows her. Meg bursts into the kitchen.
Ellen!
Pete enters behind her, hair blown wild in the wind, with a strange light in his eyes. He crosses the room toward Ellen.
Nate's a brave lad, but he's a fool. I warned him, but he wouldn't listen.
You warned him against what?
Courage isn't enough. He won't make it. He'll be back. He'll be back.
Pete limps wearily into the next room. Meanwhile, Nate skirts the edge of the Oxhead Woods until he sees a battered, hand-lettered sign. As he passes it, he reads, but ignores its warning. Trespass at your own risk. Nate threads his way through a tangled labyrinth of trees and underbrush. As the wind whips through his hair, he squints his eyes against it. Nate arrives at a huge tree and looks right and left, trying to pick his way through the darkness. As he bears right, he gazes at the way ahead. Nate stops and looks around, confused. Then he spots a dilapidated wooden footbridge and ventures gingerly upon it. But the bridge is out. He gazes at the opposite bank of the creek, where the other part of the structure is still intact. Nate hesitates, uncertain what to do. Utterly lost, he peers at the darkness around him. Each way he turns, branches and vines dance in the wind. Panic-stricken, Nate runs back through the woods, trying to retrace his steps. Meg peers out into the darkness and sees Nate running across a pasture toward the farm. Nate runs into the barn. He collapses on a thick layer of straw, tired and frightened. At the house, Pete makes a phone call.
Yes, Mrs. Storm, Nate's sleeping here tonight, so don't you worry about it. Hard work and the big supper never hurt any boy. Oh, don't you mention it. We're glad to have him. Good night.
Meg stares at him as he hangs up.
How did you know he was back?
Ignoring her, he turns away. Ellen watches him curiously as he crosses the living room to the mantel.
Nate's all right.
He lights his pipe. Come morning, Nate is asleep in the barn on a bed of straw. He stirs when Pete enters and steps toward him.
Hello.
How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
The truth? You and your screams in the night almost...
What are you talking about?
Now, don't tell me I imagined all that stuff. I went in those woods and I heard things.
What things?
I don't know. I don't know whether it was the screams you were talking about or just the wind.
You leave well enough alone, son. Go ahead and wash up. Join us for breakfast and you can catch the school bus with me.
Nate trudges off to the farmhouse. Pete gazes after him anxiously as he goes. Later, Meg and Nate walk to meet the school bus.
What kind of a guy is Pete, anyway?
He's always been wonderful to me. Kind and generous. For my last birthday, he sent to the city and bought me the most wonderful furniture he could buy for my room. He's always been that way.
But what about that red house?
I remember hearing him talk about it a long time ago. But I've never heard him mention it since.
You haven't?
No. He's just warned me to stay out of those woods since I was little.
Do you know anything about those screams?
Abruptly, she turns her back and walks away. The school bus arrives.
And I'd be afraid to find out.
As the bus pulls to a stop, they get on.
Hey, look who moved in with the Morgan.
Okay, so I'm working there. So make something out of it.
Later, as Nate and Meg step toward the school, Tibby waits at the front door. Meg steps past Tibby, but Nate stops beside her.
Well, you've got nerve, Nate Storm. Where were you last night when I phoned like I said I would?
Working.
Working? All night long?
Aw, Tibby, can't a guy even earn chore money at the Morgans without you throwing a fit?
Not if it takes all night.
She storms off. Taken aback, Nate hesitates, then follows her inside. After school, the bus drops off Nate at his mother's.
Bye.
Nath enters the deserted general store and walks to the private rooms behind.
Hi, Mom.
She's sewing at a machine.
See, you're not bowled over by the rush of business.
Oh, things have been like this all day again. I suppose folks get tired coming in asking for things they haven't got.
Look, Mom, why don't you close the store and marry Don Gwynn? He's a nice guy.
Now, there's time enough for Don and me to get married after you're out of school and on your own.
Graduation's just around the corner. Why don't you two go ahead and get married while you're still young enough to enjoy it?
Shame on you, talking to your mother that way.
Well, you've given enough of your life to me. You go down to town and tell Don you're ready anytime he is.
He's being transferred north.
Well, that settles it. Here he's been courting you since I was in grammar school. If you don't marry him now, he'll meet some chick up north, and then you'll be a dead duck. Well, I've got to change. I'll be late at the Morgans.
How do you like it up there?
Oh, it's okay. They eat good. I mean, well. A couple of things got me wondering. How did Pete Morgan lose his leg?
He fell down a cliff in the Oxhead Woods. It was a long time ago. You were still a baby. It was Dr. Byrne's first case in the valley. He amputated the leg on the Morgan kitchen table.
Wonder if it's the one I ate at.
That was the first time Dr. Byrne ever met Ellen Morgan. Everybody knew he fell in love with her, but nothing ever came of it.
Wonder why. Still a bachelor.
I don't know. They still act like they love each other, the few times I've seen them meet. But she chose to devote her life to her brother Pete, I guess. Seems a shame.
Just like it would be a shame if you don't marry Don and go north with him.
If I do, how long will it be before you and Tibby get married?
Oh, search me. Sometimes the more I know about women, the less I know about women. Guy needs more than a high school education just to find out what they're going to do next.
Will you be staying at the Morgans again tonight?
No. I'm going to take a shortcut through Oxhead Woods by daylight, so I'll know my way back here tonight.
Well, if you should change your mind, would you care if I go down to town and talk things over with Don?
You do more than talk things over. You come back here a bride. We don't want any dead ducks in the family, do we?
He kisses her cheek.
Bye.
Nath hurries out. Sometime later, Nath trots toward the Oxhead Woods. The boundary is marked with a barbed wire fence and a no trespassing sign. Prying apart the strands of wire, Nath enters the woods. He passes a fallen tree. Further in, he arrives at the creek and the ruined footbridge. Nath nimbly crosses the creek on some stones and pauses to look at the bridge. Stepping carefully, he advances along its rickety span until he arrives at the break. Across the divide to the opposite bank. Content with his achievement, he crosses the creek on the stones and carries on. Meanwhile, at the Morgan farm, Pete looks up from one of the outbuildings and sees Meg approaching.
How are the hens doing?
She avoids his gaze.
We always have more eggs than we can use.
He looks at her, perplexed, as she walks away without a smile.
Meg. I guess Nate's asked a lot of questions on the way to school this morning.
Yes, but only questions I've wondered about myself. Things you've never explained. Can't you tell me, Pete?
Well, I didn't know that anything troubled you. Why are you suddenly questioning this? Because of him?
Maybe.
Well, maybe he won't come back.
I think he will. I hope he does.
May. All of a sudden, you seem so grown up. I guess I don't like to see it happen. I wish you were a child again. I wish you needed me just as you did then. I don't want you ever to grow away from us. You mean everything to Ellen and me. I want you to be happy.
I love you both very much.
She walks away. Later, Nath herds the cows in for milking. Soon after, he hurries across the farmyard with a pail of milk and passes Pete.
You're late today.
I had to go home first. I came here through Oxhead Woods.
Yes, that would be the quickest. Daytimes.
Or any other time.
Don't put so high a price on courage, son. It's overrated. The lowest animal's got more courage than man has. You touch a snapping turtle with a stick and he grabs at it with his teeth. Cut his head off, and he still won't let go. Well, we humans weren't made that way. We were born helpless.
But we don't have to stay that way. Nobody's gonna call me Yellow.
Who has?
Nobody, yet. And nobody's going to.
Nate glares at Pete and walks off. That night, Nate enters the woods past the trespass at your own risk sign. He picks his way through the underbrush. He doesn't hesitate as he did the night before. Tree above him and grins. Pressing onward, he arrives at the footbridge. He climbs on it, looks around confidently, and jumps the creek. When he lands, he's hit hard across the back and tumbles into the creek. He sits up and peers around for his assailant. Soaked to the skin, he hauls himself toward the creek bank. Later, Nate storms into the Morgan farmhouse, dripping wet. Ellen and Pete stare at him in astonishment as he steps to Meg's side.
Has he been outside tonight?
No.
Give me your word.
Of course. Why, you're so through, Nate. Get a blanket from the chest, Nate. You can stay in the helpless cabin.
Nate glares at Pete.
I warned you, but you wouldn't listen. It wasn't a piece of that red house that knocked me into the stream, Mr. Morgan. And it wasn't a scream in the night that bowled me over. It was a human. A human strong enough to nearly kill me. I figured it was you.
Pete scowls at him coldly.
Sometimes we figure too much, son. The wrong things. Things that can't ever be figured. And it's bad. Bad for everyone. It's quicksand. I need your help here, Nate. Why would I want to hurt you?
When Meg returns with a blanket, Nate follows her outside. Ellen stares quizzically at Pete.
What do you think happened, Pete?
There's a curse on those woods.
He sits down slowly, gazing straight ahead.
We know that.
Meg has shown Nath to the helper's cabin.
Are you going to stay with us, Nath?
Why shouldn't I?
Well, after what's happened, I thought... And Tibby doesn't want you to, does she?
After what's happened, you couldn't get me out of here with a triple-barrel shotgun. Last night, I was a coward. There's some connection between Pete's red house and whoever hit me. I'm going to find out what goes on out there if it takes exploring every Sunday between now and doomsday.
I'll help you.
I thought Pete told you not to go in those woods.
I can't help it. I want to.
Okay. Sunday we'll go prowling.
She smiles, steps toward the door, then hesitates.
Well, what about your date with Tibby?
Sure that I don't want you to stay here just because, I don't want her to think I'm trying to steal you away from her. We did have a date to go swimming Sunday anyway. Well, maybe asking her to come along would keep her from throwing another fit.
Good night, Nate. Thanks.
Good night, Meg.
Meg leaves the cabin. That Sunday, Meg and Nath cross the creek on the stepping stones. Tibby sits on the edge of the wrecked footbridge.
Help me down, honey.
Nath wades through the creek and lifts her off the bridge.
Don't drop me.
Drop you? Who's got hold of who?
Meg looks on jealously, then steps away. Nath and Tibby kiss.
Hey, kid! I found an old trail. Maybe it leads somewhere.
Nath and Tibby follow Meg. Later, with Nath in the lead, the three cross the creek on a fallen tree trunk. The terrain changes to grassy meadows full of giant, jagged rocks. Nath guides the girls along a path that leads through the massive boulders. Soon, boulders loom above the path, casting deep shadows upon it. But Nath forges on with the others close behind. They stop.
Another dead end.
They're all dead ends. I'm hot.
Suddenly, Meg concentrates intently, acutely aware of her surroundings.
Goose chase for 4 solid hours. Find your haunted house on your own time. You're on my time now. Or have you forgotten we had a date to go swimming this afternoon? Just the two of us. Remember? Let's go back to the farm, kid. The sun will be just right for swimming.
They follow Meg. Later, at the Morgan's pond.
Meg! What's happened to you?
What? What's the matter?
Well, there's a black and blue streak across your shoulder. How'd you get it?
Well, that. I don't know.
Of course you know.
Tibby turns to me.
You might let me in on your secrets.
We haven't any secrets. We told you about the red house.
Look, Tibby, I slipped in the stream last night and fell on my shoulder. Come on, I'll race you across the pond.
Aren't you coming in?
You had a swimming date. Just the two of you, remember? Outside.
She walks off. Nathan and Tibby dive into the pond. Side by side, they swim across it as Meg watches nearby. Teller emerges from the Oxhead Woods and secretly watches Nathan Tibby frolicking in the water. Tibby pulls herself out onto the grassy bank. Meg smiles wanly as she watches them together.
Do you love me?
Sure.
Just keep you all kissed. I like to be kissed.
Teller watches as they kiss. But Meg looks away. Nate swim across the pond toward Meg. Soon after, at dinner.
Are you and Nate planning to be married, Tibby?
Well, I like to keep him guessing, Mr. Morgan.
She's like an ornery heifer sometimes. Hard to hold down.
We're glad to have you at our house, Tibby. We've missed having company. You must come back often. Besides, we like to keep Nate happy. Have you had a pleasant day?
Well, we wasted most of it looking for a haunted house in the Oxhead Woods.
Nate glances nervously at Pete.
I didn't know there was a haunted house in the Oxhead Woods.
Meg looks at Pete, then drops her eyes.
Well, Nate says it's red and he's got to find it. Isn't that silly?
Yes, it is. Can I go with you?
Nate looks at Meg and hesitates.
Yes.
There's enough trouble in this world without having to go out and look for it.
Well, I'm all the trouble he can handle if he only knew it.
Pete glares at Meg. But she meets his gaze defiantly. Later, Nate walks Tibby to the farm gate.
A swell when you are keeping a secret, blabbing to Pete.
I didn't blab, it just slipped out. And a fine swimming date we had, I don't think.
You know, Tibby, you're mighty pretty, especially when you're mad. And I guess maybe when you're mad, you're just about the prettiest gal there is. Are you sure you don't want me to get Pete's pickup truck and drive you home?
Can't have your cake and eat it, too. You have chores to do. I'll walk home, thanks. Don't suppose I'll be seeing much of you weeknights.
Well, what with final exams coming up and this new job...
I know. Would it be too much to ask that we spend next Sunday by ourselves? Just you and me? Or is it more important to play hide-and-seek in the woods with Meg?
Go on, get madder. Makes your cheeks pink.
She bats her eyelashes coyly and smiles.
Don't think you're going to talk me into a kiss goodbye. I want you to miss him. Long enough to make him more important than haunted houses. So save it for next Sunday.
When she turns away coquettishly, Nath grins and hurries back to the farm. In the farmhouse.
Thought you were napping, Pete.
Pete steps toward Meg.
You disobeyed me.
She turns away.
Now you listen to me.
I'm listening.
You went into the woods with Nate.
Well, why shouldn't I? They're all...
Because I've asked you not to.
We didn't find anything. All we did was keep getting into one dead end after another.
I don't care. Now you listen to me. All I have in the world is you. If there's anything you want, I'll get it for you. But there's one thing you've got to do for me. You stay out of those woods.
I've grown up, and I've got a right to do as I please.
I've never laid hands on you in my life. But I'll take the word to you if you do.
Pete!
She runs out of the kitchen. Pete looks across the room. He steps to a nearby closet. There's a rifle inside it. Pete takes off his suit coat and trades it for a jacket. He grabs the gun and hurries out the back door. In the meantime, as Tibby continues her walk home...
Hi, fella.
Headed for home?
Uh-huh.
That's what I figured. Been swimming?
How'd you know?
Got your suit in that bag, haven't you?
What are you doing here?
Waiting for you.
What for?
I want you to do me a favor. You've got looks and all the rest besides. Besides that, I figure you're the kind that's got more sense in your head than comes out of your mouth.
Maybe I have. What kind of favor you want out of me?
I've got $750. I want you to buy me a government bond.
$750? Where'd you get it? You steal it?
His expression hardens.
I want you to buy me that bond. Have them write my name on it and buy it the next time you go to town. There's an extra 10 for your trouble.
Oh, I couldn't take it.
Sure you could. And keep your mouth shut to boot. I'll be waiting every Sunday till you bring it.
Why don't you buy it yourself?
Because a guy in the village bank's got too long a nose. And because it'll be a prettier bond if you buy it for me.
She looks at him skeptically.
I better get home.
She walks off. Arriving at a nearby stream, she hesitates.
You want me to help you cross the stream?
She sneers at him haughtily. But he scoops her into his arms and carries her across on stepping stones. They arrive at the opposite bank, and he sets her down.
Thanks a lot, Teller.
Is that all the thanks I get?
How much more do you want?
When Teller kisses Tibby's upturned face, she doesn't resist. He releases her, and she looks at him, dazed, then hurries away. Grinning smugly, he watches her go. Teller races off in the direction of the gunshot. Upstream, Teller bounds across some rocks to cross the creek. Between some large boulders and enters a clearing.
Teller.
It's Pete.
You'll either protect these woods of mine or I'll get someone who can.
Well, why don't you keep your trespassers at home? You gave me full rights to the Oxhead Woods exclusive.
I gave you the game rights in exchange for keeping trespassers out.
Look, Mr. Morgan, if you can't keep your own hired hand out of these woods, maybe I should use more than a club to scare them away with.
Well, why don't you?
You're telling me I can use my gun?
I don't want anybody to get hurt, but there's no better way of backing up a no trespassing sign than by a bullet missing somebody's skull.
The two stare at each other coldly.
Okay, Mr. Morgan, I'll take care of my end. This is going to be fun.
It's going to be more than that. It's your last chance.
Pete limps away. The following Sunday dawns bright and clear. Meg, Nath, Pete, and Ellen gather in the Morgan farmhouse.
Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray to thee to bless all those on earth who are suffering in heart and mind, body and spirit. Grant them the blessing of hope and faith and strength.
She gazes at Pete. Pete looks away. Meg and Nath cross to the far side of the room.
What's troubling you, Pete? You haven't eaten. You haven't slept.
Pete gazes at her, then looks in Meg and Nath's direction. She follows his stare, pats his shoulder, and goes upstairs. Meg crosses the room to answer the phone.
Hello? Yes, Tibby, I'll call him. Tibby wants you.
Nath takes the receiver.
Hello, Tibby. No, I'm coming over.
Well, you can use the pickup truck, Nath.
Pete says I can use his pickup truck. I'll come on down. Bye.
You know, when I was a young man and in love, Sunday was always a good day for spooning.
Thanks for the use of the truck.
Always ready to give love a helping hand. Aren't we, Meg?
Meg looks down.
That's right.
And I might add, it's a lot healthier than prowling in woods.
Nath frowns at this remark. Pete watches as Nath and Meg step outside.
I don't care what Pete said. I wish we were prowling in the woods today.
I wish Tibby'd forgotten our date.
So do I.
There's something out in those woods. Something tells me we won't find out what it is until I find the red house.
What are we going to do with it when we find it?
Bust it open, I guess, and let some light in. Maybe it'll shake the creeps out of a lot of things.
Meg smiles at him.
We'll find it.
When Nath leaves, Meg heads back inside. Pete is waiting for her. She steps past him without a smile. Pete fishes a small, gift-wrapped box out of his jacket pocket and follows Meg across the room.
I got this for your graduation. I wasn't going to give it to you until then, but because it's a gray day and because I want you to be happy, go ahead, open it.
Meg unwraps the gift. It's an expensive watch.
Oh, beautiful.
You like it?
Oh, I love it.
Well, let me put it on, huh?
He fits the watch around her wrist.
Now, will you forgive me for barking at you last Sunday?
Meg's expression hardens.
I didn't exactly disobey, Pete. I've always wanted to go into those woods. I did it because I felt I had to. Strange. I felt I belonged there.
Don't ever go near those woods again.
Meg stares at him rebelliously and steps away. Pete worriedly follows her across the room, and when she reaches the staircase, she turns to him.
Thanks for the watch. I'll treasure it all my life.
She goes upstairs. In her bedroom, Meg steps toward a window. She gazes out at the distant Oxhead woods beyond the pond. Away from the window and puts on a jacket. She crosses the room, opens one of her bedroom windows, and steps out onto the roof. Meg climbs down a big tree beside the house. Thank you. alone. As she follows a path, she pushes her way through some bushes. Stops to survey her surroundings, then continues on her way. Stepping carefully, she passes some huge boulders. Some distance away, Teller squats with his rifle, examining one of Meg's footprints. A path deeper and deeper into the woods, she studies her unfamiliar surroundings. She follows the winding path through a jumble of giant rocks. Meg enters a clearing and crests a small hill. Looking down the other side, she spies an old house. Meg gazes at it, transfixed. There's an old shack astride a pool of water beside the house. Meg stares at it, fascinated. She turns and races headlong back the way she came. She runs through the rocks onto an open, grassy area. Teller fires at Meg from a hillside, narrowly missing her. Bullets ricochet all around Meg. His next shot.
One more to keep you home where you belong.
He aims carefully. Meg looks back, trying to see her attacker. Then rushes down a steep hill. She falls and tumbles head over heels. Meg tries to get up, but she's hurt. She struggles to sit up, but can't get to her feet. Frightened and in pain, Meg leans against a tree. Tears well up in her eyes. That night, Tibby and Maith meet outdoors.
Tibby, you've got Meg all wrong. Didn't she ask you up to spend the day and have dinner?
Yeah, but why?
Can't anybody do anything without you figuring they've got an angle?
I've always got an angle. I've got an angle on you. Girl always has a reason when she does something.
Does she?
Sure.
Okay. And what's your reason for dawdling with that guy Teller?
What do you mean, dawdling?
Just what I said. You think I didn't see you?
How could you? Where were you?
In the bus? Where'd you think I was?
Oh, that.
Yes, that. Was there some more dawdling I didn't know about?
You don't think I'd be interested in a big dumb ox who makes his living hunting.
Well, you were interested enough to stop and talk to him that afternoon.
Well, he was sitting on our rocks. I told him to get off him.
And what did he say?
He said he would.
I'll bet.
You calling me a liar?
Now, don't make something out of nothing. All I said was, I'll bet.
You bet what?
I'll bet he said he'd get off your rocks. Is that calling you a liar?
He holds her close.
Pop was right.
Right about what?
You're too bright to be wasting your time up at the Morgans for 4 bits an hour. Well, they just live off their farm. They make a profit on ours.
Since when is there a law against living off the earth? We're going to live off the earth someday. Before we're finished, we're going to leave our kids a good farm.
I want to clear out of these hills when I get married.
Since when?
Since now. I don't want to be just any farm wife.
This is as good a time as any other to find that out.
She pouts.
Well, if you love someone, you'll do anything for them.
That works both ways.
Maybe someday you'll own this whole valley. And we can spend our winters in the city house.
Sure. With 2 station wagons and a limousine.
Why not?
I better get back to the Morgans.
What for?
Let you go on with your dreaming. I'm disturbing your sleep. City house, station wagons, limousines. Great. Boy, when you really dream good.
Well, aren't I worth working for?
Sure. Now, a lot of guys are working on getting to the moon in a rocket. They think that's worth working for. But I like the ground around here. And I'd just as soon keep my feet on it.
How much money have you saved doing it?
None yet.
Not even $750?
Not even 750 cents. Why?
Nothing. I was just thinking.
Later, when Nath returns to the Morgans in Pete's truck, Ellen hurries toward him.
Nath! Didn't Meg go with you? I thought she did. She was gone when you left. Didn't she leave with you this noon?
No, only as far as the porch.
Did she say she was going anywhere?
She must have gone into the woods alone.
He runs off into the night. Meg dozes under the tree.
Meg!
Meg looks up and sees Nath running toward her with a flashlight.
Meg!
Nath runs onto the old footbridge. Shines his light on her. And leaps over the creek.
I knew you'd come.
Are you hurt?
Yes, I think maybe my leg's broken.
Here, hold this.
She takes the flashlight.
Now, put all your weight on the other leg.
He lifts her to her feet. Pete and Ellen wait back at the farmhouse.
We were happy here until that boy came. Meg loved me, trusted me. Did everything I asked. And then he came. I'm losing it. I fought fate 15 years ago and I lost. You know that, Ellen. I tried to stay away from that house.
Yes, Pete, you tried.
She kept calling. I had to go to her.
Don't dig it up again, dear. It's buried. It's past.
Buried until that boy came here.
Nath doesn't know anything about it, Pete. That's all in your mind. Do you think there's a man on earth who hasn't something to conceal? Every living soul has his Oxhead Woods.
I can still see her. She knew there was nothing I could do about it. He knew it.
Don't dig it up again, dear, please.
Why didn't Meg go before it happened?
Please.
Why did she scream? I loved her. She knew it. Why did she cry out?
It's been 15 years, dear. Put it out of your mind. Don't let it drive you mad again. It's gone. It's over. It can't touch Meg.
There's nothing I can do about it.
There is something we can do about it. We can protect her from the past.
How can I protect her from the past when I can't shut it out myself?
We can shut it out of this house.
No, this isn't my house. There's
There's no certain place beyond Earth. Except out there in that ice house. That's where I belong. What did Meg find out?
Pete, how could she find out?
I didn't want her to go. I'd rather she was dead than ever hear the screams. I'd rather she was dead. I'd rather I died out there in the muck and dirt. That's where I belong.
I should have burned that place down.
No. They'd search the ashes and find her screaming.
I should have burned it down and the ice house and the woods with it.
Would you dare? You'd never dare.
Ellen, Pete, open the door. Ellen.
Nath carries Meg inside.
What's happened to her?
I found her in your woods. Her leg's broken. Call Dr. Byrne.
Call Jonathan, Pete.
But Pete stands rooted to the spot, watching Nath carry Meg upstairs. At last, he shakes off his reverie and steps toward the phone.
Dr. Byrne. Dr. Byrne, this is Pete Morgan. We need you. Our Meg's leg is broken. Come quick.
One night, sometime later, as Meg sits up in bed reading, she's startled by a sound outside. A figure climbs the tree beside the house. When Meg switches off her light, a man climbs through her window.
It's Nate.
He goes to her side.
Somebody will hear you.
They both listen.
Oh, I'm so glad you came. Why did you wait so long?
Helen wouldn't let me come. I never thought of climbing that tree until tonight.
I wanted to tell you about the red house. I followed some wagon tracks through the woods. They were all grown up.
Where did they start?
I don't know. Headed uphill just past the big limestone rocks we saw that Sunday. How's Tibby?
Search me. She's gone to town for something. Graduation dress, I think.
Bet you miss her.
Tell me about the red house. After the limestone rocks, what?
Well, I followed these tracks through the rocks. The road's hard to follow, but it led to this hill.
What hill?
I don't know. I was too busy following the tracks to see. I looked down from the top into the rocks. And there it was.
What did it look like?
Ugly and awful. But, Nate, I had the feeling I'd been there before.
Well, lots of people get that feeling, Nate, even if they haven't.
No, this was different. I even seemed to remember the ice house back against the rocks. Water shimmered out from under it, as if it were flooded.
How do you know it was an ice house?
That's what scares me. I know it was. But how did I know?
Well, didn't you go look?
I didn't dare go without you. My heart started pounding.
You sure you didn't hear screams?
Meg reflects.
Yes. I think I did. I think that's why I ran. I don't know.
A noise startles them. Downstairs, Pete has dropped his cane beside his chair. He looks up suspiciously toward Meg's bedroom and gets to his feet. Upstairs.
You better go. Come back again tomorrow night.
You're tickled.
When Nath kisses her cheek, she looks away sadly. Nath looks at her with new feeling. He steps away from her bed and ducks out the window. Meg's bedroom door swings open. It's Pete. Meg stares at him unafraid.
Jeannie. Are you all right?
Just turned out my light.
I thought I heard you calling for me.
No, I was just about to go to sleep.
Pete notices the open window.
Good. Sleep soundly, Jeannie.
Meg watches as he closes her door. Soon after, Pete enters Nate's cabin.
You were in Meg's room just now.
Yes, I was.
You sneaked up the tree. You were there with her in the dark.
Is there a law against me seeing her?
Yes, mine. There was peace in this house until you came. You took her into the woods.
Meg went into the woods on her own.
She wouldn't have gone if it weren't for you. Her leg wouldn't have been broken if it weren't for you.
You've got no right to treat her like a child.
You caused all the trouble you're going to. I don't want you here anymore. Get out, now!
You don't need to think I want this job. I can work for Rentons any day I like. Clear out.
Never trespass on my property again. If you do, you'll get hurt. Is that fair warning?
Yes, that's clear enough.
Nate leaves the cabin. In the morning, as Ellen sets the table for breakfast, Pete enters the kitchen.
You can take one place off. Nate's quit. He's gone to work for Tibby's folks.
Without even saying goodbye.
But it seems they needed him this morning. Said to say goodbye to you and Meg.
That's not like Nate. He's a nice boy. What are we going to do for help?
We can manage alone. Meg will soon be up and around. We can manage alone. Just you and me and, Meg.
Pete picks up his pipe.
Did you quarrel with Nate? Don't lie to me, Pete.
Why should I quarrel with a boy?
For the same reason you killed Jeannie's husband.
He smashes his pipe.
Because you wanted her all to yourself.
He picks up a table and throws it at Ellen. Upstairs.
Ellen!
Clutching her right arm, Ellen heads for the stairs. His anger gone, Pete watches her go. Upstairs.
Meg, dear. Nate's gone. He sent you his love.
Meg stares at her.
He needed a full-time job now that school's about over.
Meg notices that Ellen is holding her bleeding arm.
I was putting some dishes away and the wall cupboard came down on my arm. We'll miss Nate, won't we?
Meg's eyes brim with tears. Sometime later, Nate attaches a cowbell to a car bumper. His mother and her new husband emerge from the general store.
It's going to be lonesome for you, isn't it? Why don't you padlock the store and go up to the Morgan?
I've quit there, Mom. I'm going to work for the Rentons.
Well, with Tibby around, then you won't be lonesome.
I'll be okay, Mom.
He gives her a hug.
Well, happy honeymoon.
He shakes hands with his stepfather.
Thanks again for everything. Goodbye, son.
Bye.
Nate escorts his mother to the car.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Mom.
They kiss. The newlyweds drive off. Nate watches wistfully. Later, Meg sits on the farmhouse's front steps.
Hello, Doctor.
How's my patient? I'll bet it feels better with that cast off.
I've been cheating a little, Dr. Byrne. I tried walking without my crutches.
Uh-huh. I brought up the mail.
He sits beside her.
Where's Ellen?
Gathering the eggs. How's everyone in the valley?
Oh, new baby at Sheriff Hulk's. New hired hand at the Rentons.
Who?
Mrs. Storm's boy, Nate. Yeah. Everybody's wondering what the Rentons want most. The Storm boy for a son-in-law, or an extra hand on the farm for free.
Is Nate living at the Rentons?
No. I see him going back to the store nights. Say, wasn't he working here at the time you broke this pretty leg?
Yes, but he had to get a full-time job.
He's got a full-time job handling Tippy. She's a wild one. Well, I've got a few babies coming. A few old folks dying. I've got to be going.
Pete steps outside.
Hello, Doctor.
Our Meg's about as good as new. Young bones knit fast.
Yeah, well, thank heaven she was luckier than I was.
Yes, but then a girl needs a pretty leg more than a man does. With a little help in being careful, she can forget the crutches.
Well, I'll help her. I'll take care of her. I'll watch her like the St. Bernard.
How's Ellen? All right.
Inside, Ellen steps toward the front window with a basket of eggs.
Say hello to her for me.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Ellen peers out the window as Dr. Byrne leaves. Pete helps Meg to walk.
Remember when I had to learn to walk again? Just like climbing a mountain all day long. You better lean on me. Mustn't try too much the first time. I just want to help you. That's what I'm for. That's what I like.
Meg smiles happily. Meanwhile, Nath operates a forge at the Renton farm.
Oh, hi.
Tibby steps toward him in a sexy outfit.
What you got on?
My new play suit. You like it?
It's all right.
You might as well still be working at the Morgans for all the fun you are to me.
If you'd spent a little more time working around this place instead of preening your feathers like a pet canary, maybe you'd know what it is to be tired at night.
I had a nice Sunday picnic all planned for us tomorrow down by the stream. But I'm not going to waste it on you. You'll sleep all day if you want to.
Oh, just till 10 or 11.
You didn't sleep till any 10 or 11 up at the Morgans because you wanted to see her.
Don't stick your head under a faucet and cool off, Tibby. If you want to go on that picnic tomorrow, I'll be here at 11.
She flounces off. On Sunday morning, a church bell summons the faithful to worship. At the Renton farm, Tibby prepares to go out. She pulls Teller's bond out of her bedroom drawer and stuffs it down her blouse. She checks her shapely form in a mirror and leaves her room. Outside, she walks along a woodland path.
Hey!
It's Teller.
So you finally made up your mind to come?
Tibby steps toward him.
Here's your bond.
I've been here every Sunday.
Well, I couldn't get here before today.
Who do you think you are standing me up?
You've been drinking.
So what?
Well, I'm sorry I came at all. I'm sorry I got your old bond.
Did you tell anybody?
You're drunk.
He grabs her and kisses her.
Who are you kidding? You can fool around with pretty boy Nate Storm as much as you like. But when you decide on a man, you come to me.
Nate hits Teller with a mud ball, races toward him, and slugs him. Teller keels over backward in the mud beside the creek.
You had to catch him when he was drunk. Just try it sometime when he's sober. Just once, he'd kill you.
Nate stares at her shocked as she washes the mud off Teller's face. Teller comes to and sits up groggily. He and Tibby kiss passionately. Nate looks on dumbfounded. When they break off the kiss, Teller glares at Nate.
Can't you see you're not wanted? Yeah, I can. The next time you feel like snooping around Ox Head Woods, read the signs. The part about at your own risk.
Why? Because some yellow belly will sock me in the dark?
Teller gets to his feet.
says I got full rights to them woods.
Who gave them to you? Pete Morgan.
Nate is shocked.
Then would you be knowing how Meg broke her leg?
No, I wouldn't. But if it was you snooping around these woods, you'd get this.
He sucker punches Nate and knocks him out.
Come on, Tibby, let's get out of here.
As they leave, Nate comes to. Later, Meg swims at the Morgan Pond. Beside the water, Pete stands watching her, mesmerized. Meg swims gracefully toward him. She takes hold of the dock he's standing on and smiles at him, trusting him.
This is the way it could always be, Jeannie.
Meg stares at him, puzzled.
We don't need anybody else.
As he gazes at her, Meg's look of puzzlement turns to one of fear. Later, in the farmhouse...
Meg.
Meg turns away from a window and steps toward Ellen.
What's the matter, child?
I don't know. Just heartsick, I guess.
You miss Nate, don't you?
Yes. And something's wrong here. I don't know what it is.
Wrong? In what way?
Ellen. Who is Jeannie?
Ellen flinches.
Where did you hear that name?
Pete's called me that several times, and when he does, I'm afraid.
When has he called you that name?
Up in my room when my leg was hurt, and out by the pond.
Has Pete ever laid hands on you?
No. Why do you ask that?
Ellen reflects.
Finish the dishes, dear.
She hurries to the kitchen door. Meg watches, perplexed, as Ellen steps outside. Ellen finds Pete working in one of the farm sheds.
Anything wrong?
No. You're working too hard, Pete. Why don't we get Nate back to help?
You're better off without him.
I'm sure Meg misses him. She's young. She deserves the company of a nice boy like Nate. A little fun.
He looks at her sharply.
That's what you said about Herb Snell years ago. Herb Snell was fun, remember? I didn't have time to learn how to dance. I was too busy earning the money that would make it possible for me to ask Jeannie to be my wife. And Herb Snell was busy becoming the best dancer in the valley.
Nate's like you were, not Herb. He's a fine boy, honest, a hard worker.
He has a girl. What does he want with Meg?
Meg needs to be with young people like Nate. You can't condemn her to loneliness.
Meg belongs here with us.
You want to chain her to this place all her life?
All my life, yes.
I've given my life to you, Pete, because you're my brother and I loved you and you needed me. You know what it's meant to me, what I've lost. You know what Jonathan Byrne and I might have had.
Well, then I ask you not to marry him?
No, but you wouldn't let me take Meg with me if I did.
Did you expect me to? Whatever happiness I get, I've got to find while I live.
You can find happiness by giving it.
Well, do you think I could find it with that boy back here? You think he stopped prowling in those woods until he found the red house? He wouldn't stop at that. He'd dig deeper. He'd dig up a skull and bring it home as a trophy. What do you think that would do to Meg? What do you think would happen to her if she found out the truth? She'd loathe me all the rest of her life.
But you've got to be fair to Meg.
All right, so I'm not fair. But I can't let her go. As long as the red house stands in that quarry, my whole life is Meg's and her life is mine.
Ellen stares at him and stalks out. Meg hears noises coming from outside the farmhouse and steps outdoors to investigate. It's Ellen.
What are you going to do, Ellen?
I'm going to burn that place out of Pete's mind. I don't care if it starts a forest fire. It's going up in flames tonight.
You can't go into those woods.
I know them well enough.
It isn't that. I didn't tell you or Nate the whole truth about how my leg was broken. I fell, but it was because somebody was shooting at me. I was afraid Nate would get shot, afraid...
Tell her.
It's
Pete's fault for letting Teller think he owns those woods. He's just trying to scare you, but he's afraid of me.
Let me go with you.
No, your leg isn't strong enough.
I don't want to stay here alone.
Come with me as far as Nate's cabin. Lock yourself in. I'll be back before Pete knows I'm gone.
Pete enters the farmhouse.
Hello? Me.
He crosses the living room to the stairs.
Ella! Meg!
He climbs the staircase. Outside.
Meg!
Wait here for me.
Ellen heads for the woods alone. Meg enters Nate's cabin and locks the door behind her.
Meg!
Pete steps toward the cabin. Inside, Meg watches him coming, then slowly backs away from the window. Meanwhile, in the woods, Teller sees something moving. Rifle at the ready, he steps forward to investigate. Back at the farm, Meg hides in the cabin. Meg bolts outside. Meg runs toward the woods. Teller creeps through the shadows.
Right, Nate, come up out of there. I got you covered.
Ellen lies sprawled on the ground. Teller steps toward her, shocked.
Miss Ellen. Miss Ellen.
He shakes her, but she doesn't stir.
I didn't aim to kill. Miss Ellen, please.
Ellen!
Teller sees Meg approaching. Sprints away, but Meg sees him. Realizing he's been spotted, Teller runs off. Meg sees the gas can Ellen was carrying, then sees Ellen lying a few feet away. As Meg checks her wrist for a pulse, Ellen stirs weakly. Eyes brimming with tears, Meg tears a strip off her dress to make a bandage. Meg hurries off. Soon after, back at the farmhouse, Pete rocks back and forth, gazing straight ahead.
Pete, where are you?
Meg enters the living room and stares at Pete.
Pete! Didn't you hear me? Ellen's hurt. She needs help.
Yes, I know.
She's bleeding. She's been shot.
Ellen's lost now. Lost. Nothing will help.
Pete, you're not going to sit here and let her die.
She was going to the red house.
Meg cranks the phone and lifts the receiver.
15 years those woods have been calling to me.
Storm Stoller.
You won't get me.
Nate, it's Meg. I need help.
He can't help. Nobody can help.
Ellen's in the woods, hurt.
Tell her shattered. I can't carry her out alone.
Where is she?
On the trail we took just before we reached the limestone rocks.
I'll call Dr. Byrne and the sheriff. I'll bring a stretcher.
Hurry!
She hangs up, and Pete follows her into the kitchen.
You're not going back in there. You can't do it. You'll be lost, too. Believe me, I know the woods are evil. I know what's there. I know the dangers. Oh, darling, don't.
Let go of me.
Meg pushes past him and hurries out.
You don't know.
Soon after, Meg loosens Ellen's clothing.
Darling, I've stopped the bleeding. You'll be fine now. You'll get everything you need soon. Nate's coming, and he's called Jonathan.
Jonathan, I need him.
Does it hurt as much now? Ellen!
Eyes close and her head lists to one side. Meg turns away and sees Nate racing toward her through the woods.
How is she?
She's asleep. I bandaged her. Oh, Nate, thanks.
I made a stretcher out of a blanket and a couple of rake handles. It's all I had.
Did you get Dr. Burns?
He wasn't in. I left a message. I called the sheriff.
Nate peers closely at Ellen.
She's sleeping awfully sound.
Nate pulls away from Ellen and turns to Meg.
She's dead.
Meanwhile, at the Rentons, Teller pitches a pebble at Tibby's bedroom window. She looks outside and raises the sash. Teller signals her to come down. As he waits for Tibby to arrive, Teller slinks nervously into the shadows. Tibby hurries toward him.
Hi. What you got on your mind, me?
He smiles.
I couldn't get you out of my mind, baby.
That's the way you are with me, too.
Let's do something about it. Let's borrow your father's truck and elope.
Elope? Holy smoke, Papa, kill us.
Come on, baby. We'll drive across the state line. I'll cash you my bond. We'll splurge it having a honeymoon that'll top any honeymoon anybody ever had.
Truck's in the orchard shed. We can head out the back road. They won't hear us.
They steal away into the night. Back at the Morgans, Pete opens the farmhouse door. Nate enters.
She hurt bad? She's dead.
Meg steps in, holding the other end of the stretcher. Stunned, Pete closes the door and steps toward Meg. She shies away from him, but he takes her arm.
You think I didn't love Ellen?
Meg avoids his gaze.
Every day for years she's died for me. You think I can forget that? But she forgot the woods. That's what's killed her.
Nate ducks out of the room.
You hate me now, don't you?
Yes, I think I do.
Nate grabs the rifle from the closet.
You let Ellen die.
No. You defied the woods and you were hurt. She defied them. She's dead. Ellen didn't hate me. She always understood. You leave me now, I suppose, won't you, Meg?
Yes.
Everything I love dies. I can't lose you, Jeannie.
Don't call me that name, Pete. Who was she? Who was she? Was her real name Genevieve? Was she my mother, Pete?
I don't know.
You do know. I can't say her any longer.
Yes. She was your mother. Now, are you happy?
What happened to her?
Meg, for the love of heaven.
She was killed, wasn't she?
But it was an accident.
It wasn't an accident. Something awful must have happened. You must have hated her.
Hated her? I worshipped your mother. No man ever loved a woman more. To which you married your father. A man without heart, without soul.
Is that why you killed her?
No, no, no. You've got to believe me, Meg. I never hurt your mother. I never even so much as said a harsh word to her. And then when you were born in the Red House, I loved you like you were my own.
That's why I remember the house.
It was his fault. He got jealous. He took to accusing Jeannie and me of bad things. He lied. But the worst was when he was going to take Jeannie and you away. I ran to the Red House to plead with your mother not to go.
I heard him coming home in the surrey. I begged her to decide before it was too late.
Tears coursed down his cheeks.
She got frightened. I don't know why. She screamed. There was no reason I wasn't going.
Then you did kill her.
No, it was an accident. I just tried to keep her quiet. I just put my hand over her mouth. Only that.
His hand is poised over Meg's mouth.
He was the one who killed Jeannie. I picked up a bullwhip and I beat him. But he wasn't handsome anymore until he was dead, finished. I was out of my mind. I picked up their bodies and I put them in the surrey. I whipped the horses into the ice house. The spring had broken through in there. The mud was deep, deep enough. When I came to my senses, I tried to kill myself. I jumped into the quarry. Ella should have let me die there.
Nate! Where are you?
Meg hurries to the closet and opens it.
Thank God! He's taken your rifle. He's gone to the woods. Tell her I'll kill him. I love him, Pete. I love him like you love Jeannie, Pete. I don't know the woods at night, Pete. You do. You've got to help me stop him. I'll forget what happened. I won't hold it against you. You can make up for what you did. Jeannie will forgive you. She'll forgive you, Pete.
I can end this. I can be free. There was a truck road to the Red House. You go ahead. Stop the truck. I'll catch up with you.
As Meg rushes outside, Pete puts on a jacket. Meanwhile, Teller and Tibby drive through the night in the rented truck.
Must have found out.
I wish that's all it was.
What do you mean?
They're after me.
Teller pulls over and turns off the lights.
My mom will be.
Stop that car! Stop it!
Teller slaps her and gets out of the truck.
You don't really love me.
Teller runs off as two motorcycle cops stop behind the truck. One of them draws his gun and aims at Teller.
Let her stop.
He fires a warning shot, and Teller raises his hands.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Maybe Teller didn't either, kid, but it all adds up to murder.
Murder?
Teller returns to the truck with his hands up. Pete and Meg drive into Oxhead Woods on a rough, overgrown track. Pete is at the wheel. Nate hears them coming. Pete is driving fast.
Look out, they're blind!
They hit the low branch and careen onward.
We can't make it this way!
But Pete keeps barreling through the brush. Up ahead.
Who's there?
It's Ray Howe, Nate. I came as quickly as I could.
The sheriff steps toward Nate.
I telephoned the state highway police. Any signs of Teller?
No, Sheriff. But I heard a car here in the woods.
Yeah, so did I.
Pete drives along the track, crushing bushes and saplings. Soon, the car's headlights cast their glow on the red house. Pete stops close to the ice house and switches off the engine.
Teller here?
Not yet. We're on time.
He peers out the car window at the red house. Pete steps out of the car.
Come, dear. Don't be afraid.
Meg follows him toward the house.
Mm-hmm.
Pete opens the front door. He leads Meg inside.
Step out of the door, he'll see us.
Pete closes the door.
Why must we bolt the door?
Pete's eyes probe the darkness. He strikes a match. Meg watches nervously as Pete lights a candle. He studies his surroundings.
Nothing has changed. Just as it was.
Pete's memories engulf him.
Just as it was.
Crosses the room to an ancient crib. He rocks it gently.
She's just like you, Jeannie.
He gazes at Meg.
I've come to plead with you not to go. Don't go with him, Jeannie.
He steps toward her.
I can't live without you.
We've come here to help Nate. He could be killed.
Yes! I'd kill to keep you here. Does her love you that much? Enough to kill for you?
They hear movement outside. Pete snuffs out the candle.
When he comes back to the village, we'll be gone, you and the baby and me. We'll be gone. I swear before God, I'll kill him before I let him take you away. You stay here with me, Jeannie. There's much time left. Decide, Jeannie, decide.
Outside, Nathan and the sheriff are approaching. And they hear Meg scream.
Oh, Meg!
Pete clamps his hand over Meg's mouth.
Meg!
As Nathan and the sheriff run toward the house, Meg passes out. Nate hurls himself at the locked door.
Open the door, Meg!
Inside, Pete gazes down at Meg.
Open up, girl, shoot him!
Jeannie.
Nate and the sheriff burst in, but Pete's gone. Nate rushes to Meg's side.
Meg, it's Nate.
Her eyes flutter. Outside, Pete races toward the car. He gets behind the wheel.
Stop or I'll shoot! Stop, Pete! Stop or I'll shoot!
Pete guns the car directly at the ice house. The car smashes through the doors and falls into the water beneath it. As the vehicle sinks quickly, Pete stays behind the wheel, his face a mask of confusion and fear. Resigned to his fate, Pete waits for the water to engulf him. The car sinks. The sheriff watches as the car submerges in the inky darkness. Then a buggy wheel rises slowly to the surface. Sometime later, at the Morgan Pond, Meg steps toward Nate as smoke billows on the horizon.
I thought I'd better finish what Ellen set out to do, sweetheart. I set fire to the red house.
They watch with their arms around each other.
Looking forward's much better than looking back.
They kiss. The End, a United Artists release. This described version of The Red House was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Peter Agnes, narrated by Diane Forsyth, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audio Vision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast of characters: Pete Morgan, Edward G. Robinson. Nath Storm, Lon McAllister. Ellen Morgan, Judith Anderson. Teller, Rory Calhoun. Meg, Aline Roberts. Tibby, Julie London. Mrs. Storm, Ona Munson. Dr. Byrne, Harry Shannon. The Sheriff, Arthur Space.